This has been kind of gross so far, but if you're a long-time listener, you're not surprised. But, you know, listen, if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to part one. Oh, about 10, 15 minutes in, you'll get the gist of things. All right, let's do some less gross stuff, shall we, kids?
Yes.
All right, let's do some School of Flools in Florida. I like this week because we got Florida under the fire and California under the fire. Both coasts and both ideologies up for discussion. So here we go, School of Flools. Florida's new top health official issued a controversial emergency order Wednesday that lets parents choose whether their children will quarantine after they exposed to coronavirus. Parents' choice! Kind of, what was that, like, old dance where, like, the girls got to choose? Like, what was it, the Sadie Hawkins?
Sadie May?
No, I think it was, like, the Sadie Hawkins. Sadie, yeah, so Florida's instituting Sadie Hawkins rules. The order signed by Florida Surgeon General Joseph LaDapo, still requires children with COVID-19 symptoms or a positive coronavirus test to isolate. But children who are exposed to the coronavirus by coming into close contact with someone who tests positive do not have to stay home if they do not have symptoms. LaDapo was appointed by Governor Ronnie DeSantis, a Republican who shares many of his views about how to approach the pandemic, including those that run counter to guidelines from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. The physician, who previously was a health policy researcher at UCLA, has taken up controversial views, penning an editorial in the Wall Street Journal that questioned the safety of coronavirus vaccines for low-risk groups. At a news conference Wednesday at Neo City Academy in Kissimmee, LaDapo said the new order reflects his approach of considering both costs and benefits. At a news conference Wednesday at Neo City Academy, oh, I said that already, stupid. When kids are taken out of school, when they're kept out of school, it's extremely harmful. Except when they're let in school and they're sick. Then that's also harmful, too. But we won't mention that now, damn it, LaDapo. DeSantis said the rule was critical to keeping children in classrooms. Kind of like an R. Kelly date. You got to keep them locked in there and don't let them out, no matter how much they have to protest and go to the bathroom. What, no? No? Okay.
No.
Why? Why?
Not the same.
Why? Nobody's peeing on these children. It's fine. Quarantining students who appear healthy. I've actually heard pee is a good thing to get. If you have the symptoms of COVID-19, you ask a musician to pee on you. If you can't get the horse dewormer, you get a musician urine, and that will cure COVID-19.
Well, let's have Joe weigh in on that.
I saw it from a chiropractor's video on YouTube, so I know it to be true. Okay. Quarantining students who appear healthy is incredibly damaging for their educational advancement, DeSantis said. It's also incredibly disruptive to families throughout the state of Florida. The new rule disregards CDC recommendations. The health agency says that even those who appear healthy should quarantine when they've been exposed if they're not vaccinated, because even those without symptoms can spread the virus. Daniel Benjamin, a guy with two names, so he's probably a first name, so he's probably a scammer, if my experiences hold true. Daniel Benjamin, a researcher and pediatrics professor at Duke University, has been keeping close tabs on coronavirus rates in several school districts in North Carolina to study which mitigation measures work. He said it should not be up to the parent to choose. They're saying, okay, you don't believe in COVID? You don't have to act like COVID exists. I can't see you! That's the Florida policy right now. That's what he said. He added that parents have historically not been very good at keeping sick children home, a problem that persisted even before the pandemic. We touched on that in segment one. And he pointed to a CDC study of a classroom in Marin County, California, where a COVID-positive teacher infected half of her students when she took off her mask, as evidence that the Delta variant is highly transmissible when masks are not worn. Put it on, you whore! Florida's new order also strengthened the state's ban on school mask mandates, dismantling a legal challenge mounted by five school districts that wanted to require students to wear masks. A judge dismissed the case after a state attorney argued that the districts were challenging an emergency rule that has been repealed and replaced by one issued Wednesday, even though both orders banned mask mandates. Ah, the old bait and switch. If the districts want to continue to challenge the order, they must start over. How convenient. The mask ban force faces other challenges, including from the U.S. Education Department, which has opened an investigation on whether the ban violates the rights of medically vulnerable students who are at heightened risk of infection. Aha! Carly Simon, because she's so vain, the superintendent of Alachua County Public Schools. I was wondering what Carly was up to. I bet she thinks this virus is about her. God damn it, Pip. I was doing a Carly Simon joke, and you just wouldn't fucking dummy up. That's why it's better when you and your fucking vagina are here in public, or in private here. You fucking stepped all over it, and you can't get double back for a Carly Simon joke. Damn you, woman.
Double back.
Ugh. I'm not doubling back now. The Carly Simon joke is lost. It's all over. Anyway, she expressed exasperation, like I just did, over the new rules. In a statement, she said the state should not give parents the freedom to pick which pandemic guidelines to follow, because it leaves those who trust the science feeling as if they cannot safely send their children to school. So what, those kids are special? This rule is likely to promote the spread of COVID-19 by preventing schools from implementing the common sense masking and quarantine policies recommended by the vast majority of healthcare professionals, including those here in Alachua County. And if you can't listen to Alachua County, who can you listen to? The state is, in fact, doubling down on policies that may ultimately put students, staff, and the entire community at greater risk. If you've ever seen a Girls Go on a Wild video from back in the day, Florida isn't really big on safety and young people, so don't worry about it. Simon said the school district, which encompasses Gainesville, intended to keep its masking.
Simon says, go to school.
Thank you, Joe. And quarantine policies.
Simon said, go to school.
Okay. All right. So this week's poll question was, I said a Florida order makes quarantine optional for asymptomatic unvaccinated children if they've been exposed to someone who tests positive for COVID-19. This is against CDC recommendations. Do you agree with the order? And the folks were split. We had a decent amount of people answer. They were split 50-50, so that they don't know. Listen, this is so fucking stupid. If you know your kid's been exposed, have the kid sit out for a few days. Get the kid tested in a few days. It's just a few days. Every school system can now accommodate your child. Your child should be hooked up for remote learning, so they really shouldn't miss too much. And you're risking way more students having to stay home. You're risking having to go back to virtual learning if it spreads through the whole school system. I mean, now the hard part is, I get it, you know, if both parents are working. That is the hard part. You know what? They got to figure it out. It's better than the alternative where we just disregard common sense. Because if you're really worried about students staying in school, like DeSantis says he is, then you'd let them do the fucking mask mandate. Because we've seen if the kids distance and they have masks on, there's less chance of an outbreak and more chance we could keep the kids in school.
This is just about being stubbornly adherent to the talking points of people who are either COVID deniers or science adverse, and just they keep going on and on with, well, you know, I want my freedoms and I want to do it my way. It's like, well, you know what? Viruses don't adhere to your rules. They don't.
Well, but yeah, but in their defense, this is a country of laws. So maybe it's time we export the virus. It's time to send the virus back to where it came from, China, where you're deporting your virus back to you.
If only that worked.
I think it does.
Well, it might be. You know, like I said, it comes down to a choice. I mean, basically, you're going back to working parents where they're finally getting on their feet again. If the kid is asymptomatic, you know, they could decide whether to keep the kid in school or not. I think they should have the kid tested and then decide.
They're not making the parents do anything, Joe. The parents are just going, nah, we're good. We're good. There's no requirements. Now, I will say, I don't know how you would enforce this. Like, I don't know if you took the other stance where, like, asymptomatic kids can't come to school. How do you enforce that unless there's an outbreak? So, but that wasn't DeSantis' argument. DeSantis' argument wasn't there's really no way we can enforce this as a school district. That wasn't his argument. His argument makes no sense. We're doing it for the children. No, you're not. You're not, because if you really care about keeping these kids in school, then you have mask mandates, especially for the older kids.
That whole horseshit about we can't enforce it. let a young girl show up to school in spaghetti strap top, and they can enforce the hell out of that. I don't want to hear they can't enforce it. That's nonsense.
Well, I mean, I don't. Yeah, but like, if a person's asymptomatic, you don't know, like, you wouldn't know unless other people got sick and then you had to do contact tracing. So,
right.
So I mean, but I don't know what you could do. What could, you're not going to do anything to the kid. It's not the kid's fault. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to fine the parents? Well, that now you need a law. And that's not going to happen in Florida. But here's the problem. Parents do not take responsibility for their children, whether it's bullying or something like this. Parents are fucking lazy. So many times we've talked about on this show today's kids. And I always go back, forget about today's kids. Today's parents, which were yesterday's kids. They're just, so many of them are just lazy. And with that cheerleading story I talked about, it came down to lazy parents and lazy people who ran a cheer camp. They, close to 50 kids got sick instead of just saying, you know what, sit this one out. It's okay. It's just camp. It's voluntary. You're not going to miss anything. But they're lazy. They don't want to ruffle feathers. So then my daughter's friend said this is the sickest she's ever felt. And you know, there's long term.
How long was she sick for?
Well, she missed the first week and a half of school. So I'm guessing about 2 weeks, because this was right before school. So, and this was just one of the kids. I didn't obviously talk to all the other kids. I was just, you know, talking to this one little girl. So you want to keep the kids in school, but you just had one student miss a week and a half, where you could have had this one kid sit out of the same scenario for a couple of days. Get the kid tested. All right, you were exposed. Stay at home for 3 days. Get tested. If you're negative, come back to school. That's it.
You know, I was talking with my brother. I was at the seeing my relatives, and we were talking about a topic that we had on our show about gun safety, where the state of Texas said you can get a gun and you don't have to take a gun safety class.
Right.
So
right.
My brother was telling me, Dad had a saying where if you have a responsibility, to yourself and other people around you, and I said, yeah, but people, you know, the problem is that people are irresponsible. With the situation with your daughter's friend, if the daughter was telling the parents that she wasn't feeling well, and what kind of symptoms do you have, she should have ran down to urgent care and just had it checked out, just to see how if she was positive or not. That was irresponsible.
But Joe, it went beyond that. It went beyond the parents. I think the bus driver may have known. I'm not 100% sure about that. But certainly the people who ran the camp, they were forthright with the people who ran the camp, apparently. So they dropped the ball, too. You can't trust people to do the right thing. We're not those people, unfortunately. And, it's just terrible. Listen, like I said, back in our day, we went to school, we went to work sick. Listen, I think I worked through COVID. First of all, I was away from home, so if I wanted a hotel, I got to show up to work. But I didn't know it was COVID at the time. You know, I thought it was a stomach thing. A stomach thing's 24 hours. 3 days later, and you do a little research, go, oh, okay. But now, in the world we live in, and we're getting close to 2 years living in a COVID world, you got to be responsible. It goes back to what Joe's brother said, his father said. There's a responsibility to the society. But we don't have, a lot of us have replaced that responsibility to society to my rights, my freedom. And the country was never developed that way. Yes, it's a free country, but your freedoms were never allowed to infringe on other people's health and safety. The country was never developed for that. Unless, of course, slavery. I understand the cotton's not going to pick itself. But you put that aside. You put that aside. You were supposed to be concerned about your fellow citizen.
And one would hope that you would be, but we're not.
Yeah. I think
most people are not.
I think this is a horseshit decision by Florida. It's just ridiculous. And the fact that it comes from somebody in the quote-unquote medical profession, I mean, listen, I mean, it, Florida's a train wreck. There's no reason for you. Just err on the side of caution. That's all you. The cautious thing to do is you were exposed. Sit out. Stay at home for 72 hours. Get a test. Let's revisit this. That's what the safe thing to do is. You'll virtual learn for 3 days. It's better one student virtually learns. Hopefully you're not sick. Then you do come to school sick. And now we have a bunch of people that are sick. And a bunch of people have to virtually learn. This is not hard to figure out.
Yeah, but you know it's kind of tough in a way, you know, with working parents.
Yeah, but Joe, we're kids getting sick and parents having to stay home from work is not a new thing. You know what? When you were a little boy and you got sick,
if they have to stay home, and the parents both have to work in a job where they can't work remotely. It could be a problem.
Our parents did not work remotely. Joe, our parents did not work remotely. When we were little kids, if we were sick, they had to stay home with us. Either, you know, the
boy. My mom, she went to work.
Well, you know, and that explains. You were raised by wolves. But,
that's where you have some situations like that. I'm not saying that's everything, but a lot of parents, it's rough.
I got to tell you, I don't want that person going to work, because if the kid was exposed to COVID-19, now you might have been exposed. So I don't want you showing up at the office anyway. This isn't brand new. We're 2 years into this shit. I mean, you know, listen, if this conversation was not this past March, but the March before, okay, there's a lot to learn. We used to talk about it all the time. There's so much we have to learn. We don't know. We're close to 2 years into this. We know how to do it right. We're just making fucked excuses not to do it.
All
right.
Until they come up with the next variant and they keep it going. You know, there's going to be a tipping point with this.
Yes, Joe. The answer is you get everybody vaccinated so the disease can't spread anymore. That's why this isn't just an America problem. When you have 3% of Africa that's been vaccinated, we're not getting rid of this shit. The good thing about the vaccine is it's supposed to, although it's not doing 100%, unfortunately, it's supposed to get prevent you from getting very, very sick. But the more variants...
There's an issue in regards to vaccination where the Democrats have a problem where it's the African-American community. Majority of African-Americans have not got the vaccine. If they go out and start mandating it, there could be racism. They could start yelling slavery. I mean, how do the Democrats
that? The government is not going to mandate the average citizen getting a vaccine. We've seen that. It's not gonna happen. It makes a great meme, but it's not gonna happen. It's gonna be close to that. No, it's not. It's up. Businesses are making their decision.
Okay. So how do you have the African American community get to a point where most of them are vaccinated?
The same way you do with any of these communities. First of all, you say shut off Tucker Carlson. Shut off Fox News, and then you say you talk to your doctor. Talk to your personal doctor. You know, you got to convince people to talk to somebody they trust, because they're not gonna paying attention to the PSAs anymore. You know, you talk to your doctor. Hopefully, the local clergy is on board, and we're seeing more and more of the local clergy is. You have to say shut off the Facebook, shut off the Twitter, shut off the Newsmax, the Fox News. Talk to your doctor. Ask your doctor about COVID-19 and vaccines and treatments.
And what if they don't? Now what?
Listen, we can't force people. Private businesses are making their own decisions. You're not gonna force kids, because if they want to go to school, they have to be vaccinated. And that's what we've done in this country for years. You want to be in the military, you got to get vaccinated. George Washington started that. You want to work for Disney, you got to get vaccinated. Private companies are going to do it, but Uncle Joe Biden isn't going to stick a needle in your arm unless you have a government job, because he's the CEO of the government. So, I mean, that's the way it is. You know, work for yourself, and then you don't have anything to worry about. Do your own thing. Otherwise,
But I get a funny feeling that the Democrats are going to be a little skittish on going after the African-American community.
All right, it's not just an African-American community thing. I know where you're going at. Yes, there's a lot of distrust amongst the African-American.
What I'm saying is I'm not saying, well, it's just them. No. But in the regards to the Democrats not wanting to step on toes, but they want to step on toes.
I've seen
it's
no.
It's going to be interesting how they handle this sector of the population.
They're handling it the way they handle every sector. They're trying to do outreach. They're trying to educate people. That's all they can do. The Uncle Joe isn't showing up on your front porch after he falls up them three times and jabbing you in the arm. It's not happening. I know it makes a great story and a great boogeyman and a great meme, but that's just not the way our country works. All we can do is educate people. Like, yes, it's your choice. It is your choice. But schools have a choice. Businesses have a choice. Other people have choices too. So that's where we are with this. All right, let's move on. Now that we've put Florida under the gun, California says, hold my grapes. California Governor Gavin Newsom, fresh off the recall vote, signed two bills on Wednesday relating to abortion rights, with both helping children hide medical information from parents. Always a good thing. The first bill, AB 1356, will create new offenses arising from recording or photographing patients or providers within 100 feet of the entrance to a reproductive health service facility. Yeah, I'm fine with that. We don't need TMZ loitering around Planned Parenthood. I'm fine with that shit. Go home. Let's see. The other, AB 1184, will keep patient information confidential for patients who are not the primary policyholder for their health insurance. Healthcare services that patients can keep confidential include reproductive health care and gender-affirming care, according to the governor's statement. California has been a leader in protecting access to sexual and reproductive rights. Gavin Newsom is at the forefront of your abortion. But as we've seen recently with unprecedented attacks, and he's a handsome man, so you could understand why. As we see with unprecedented attacks on these rights, we can and must do more, Newsom said in the statement. I applaud the establishment of the California Future of Abortion Council. That sounds like something we should fundraise for. And look forward to its important work to advance our state's leadership in this vital issue. I'm proud today to sign these two bills that demonstrate our dedication to strengthening and further protecting access to reproductive health care services in California. Newsom's statement noted his signing of the bills came after Texas enacted a ban on abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, even though it's not detected in 6 weeks. But whatever, it's a catchy name. Promising California will remain a haven for all Californians and for those coming from out of state seeking reproductive health services here. I don't know. Listen, I understand, you know, making abortion accessible. I don't want to know. We want to know if you want to put on a bumper sticker, California, we're the abortion state. I don't know if that's great for marketing either.
Tourism is jumping.
I heard it through the grapevine. We're going to take out your baby. All nine Republican members of the California Senate opposed the signing of AB 1184 and sent a letter to Newsom urging him to veto the bill. And he said, Republicans, pshaw. We should be encouraging parents and family to be involved in their children's lives, not removing them further from it, read the letter. Well, that makes sense. Newsom's signing of the twin bills. Oh, they had twin bills. Oh, and look, the Republicans wanted to abort those twin bills. But Newsom said, no, we will not abort those twin bills. We will give those twin bills life and they will grow to become laws. Newsom signing the twin bills comes just over a week after he handily defeated a recall effort on September 14th. The election set to cost taxpayers roughly $276 million, because if there's one thing states like to do, it's fucking waste money, which is why Texas is having, at President Trump's urging, is having an audit of the Texas election, even though we fucking won the state. Anyway, that's just a segue, because again, we like to spend taxpayers' money. There's nothing better than
nonsense.
Oh, my God. The governor's office did not immediately respond to the Washington Examiner. Said, you're not the Washington Post. Scram! All right. Listen, I'm all for gender-affirming treatments for people that need those things if they're going to live their best life. I'm all for abortions accessible. Listen, I don't like it as a form of birth control. I'm all for that to a degree. I don't really like abortions, but I understand why we need to have them. I don't think we should keep these things from the parents. I understand there might be outstanding situations where the policyholder is a horrible, horrible, horrible person. I guess. But I think, you know what? Even if it's going to create tension in the household, a parent needs to know what's going on with their kid. Even if they have, even if that parent hasn't come to terms with it, I need to know if my daughter's having an abortion. Because you know what? Because she's going to come home afterwards, and I have to make sure that I'm taking care of her. I need to know if my child is having gender-affirming surgery, because I completely missed it. I just thought they really, I just thought she really liked squat thrusts and a Dorothy Hamill haircut. I had no idea. You know, there was, you know, parents need to be in the loop from this. And these are minors we're talking about. These are, and I'm fucking footing the bill. It's a policy. I'm a policy holder. I don't like this at all. I agree with the Republicans in this. Ugh. I feel as sick as I did during Pip's exploding cyst story. I think I'm going to vomit. But I agree with the Republicans. Yeah, you know what? We want to have the parents included in this. We don't want to exclude parents from these major things in a young person's life. These are major events. You, as a parent, and listen, I know not every parent is maybe as woke as me, and many are more woke than me. You don't have to like what's going on, but you do have to help your child go through it. And if I don't know what's going on, I can't help my child.
Well, I'm going to sheathe my sword because there's no reason to battle.
did you think I would come out differently?
I agree.
No, I mean, really, did you think I'd be like, oh, this is a good idea?
I thought it was going to be a major battle. Nope, I'm sheathing my
sword. No! No!
I think that there's one thing that I would like to see added to it, that instead of saying that you don't have to tell the parents at all, if there was a way to put language in it that unless the child was going to face, like, the parents would beat them.
Yeah, but how do you find that out? I mean, any kid who doesn't want to tell their parents, and I understand why most kids wouldn't want to tell their parents, but if that's the you can't tell mommy and daddy, I'm going to get the shit beaten out of me. There's really no way to do it. If you know they have insurance, you know the parents are involved somehow, some way, because the kid's on the insurance. Because if your parents aren't involved, then the kid wouldn't know they were on an insurance policy.
Right.
Oh, by the way, the parents are going to find out anyway when they get the copay. It's like, all right, we have this for the chiropractor. We got this for the dentist. An abortion. Man, I mean, you're gonna bill for everything from the hospital. They're gonna find out.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's a shame because it's only for the kids that are not going to. The parents are not going to receive it well. They're gonna. I wouldn't want my daughter going and having an abortion and me not knowing. But I also understand that the gender-affirming surgery or hormone treatments, there are a lot of people that are not going to be happy about that. You know, they raised a daughter or a son, and they don't want to see him the other way, and they're not going to understand.
Listen, Pip.
They'll take it away from them.
Pip, when Mary shows up with a beard and you're not Italian, you're going to figure out something's up with the hormones. I mean, you...
And also, basically, the mind is not developed fully at 18, and they may be making decisions they might be regretting later. Now, we had an argument about this, oh, Christ, at the beginning of the year, where the thing was, well, let the parents and the kid decide. Parents and the kid decide. You know?
Yeah.
Well, this is even different, Joe. This is even different. This isn't before the procedure. This is after the procedure. So the kid made the decision on their own, and we're still not telling you.
And he might be making the worst decision in their life because maybe they realized it wasn't for them at 21. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, the parents should have a say in this or know what's going on to say, look, I don't think it's a good idea. If you want to do it when you're 21, fine, whatever. But at this juncture, no.
Listen, I don't like the government getting in between intimate things. Whether it's outlawing sodomy or becoming part of the decision with a gender affirming or abortion, some things are best left to the family. I understand not everybody's parents are ideal, and there's going to be a lot of bad reactions, but there's also going to be a lot of positive reactions where the kid underestimated their parent. And you need to know what's going on with the child. The worst thing for The worst thing for a parent is to know that their child went through something very traumatic, whatever it is, and that they didn't know, and they weren't there to help their yeah. child.
Yeah, and yeah. Look, I didn't have kids, but if I did, my world would revolve around them, and my job from that moment on, from holding them to, you know, I'd be a part of their life. My job is to guide them, to help them, to be there for them. And if they're going through something like that, I want to be there. I want to know about it. I want to say something. I want to talk about, you know, I want the best for them. I want to know about it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I don't have kids, but it, you know, as a parent, I would definitely be, I want to know what's going on with my child. I want to know I want the best for them, and I want to be involved in the decision or be part of the decision. You know, and
yep.
I don't want them to do something without me knowing.
All right, let's move on. We all kind of agree on that one. Not a great law. Certainly not something we should be bragging about, Governor Newsom. All right.
No.
All right. I don't know if we need a press conference for that one, but what do I know? All right. So this is about what's going on when you go to look at when you're trying to buy a house. According to a recent LendingTree survey, 3 in 10 home sellers admit to using hidden cameras when they host an open house. I don't know if they do it when, because a lot of times you're looking in somebody's house and it's not an open house. You go with a realtor. So I don't know what those statistics are. The survey, which was commissioned from the experience management firm Qualtrics, notably had a small sample size of home sellers, 346, compared to home buyers, 1,160, for a total sample size of 2,050. Of those sellers who admit to using cameras without notifying buyers, 49% claim they do so to find out what the buyers do and don't like about their home. These children are ugly! What, no?
I hate the children that were living in this home, breathing this air. I can't have a house like that.
I gotta tell you, from these pictures, this wife could have done a lot better. What a fucking slob he is. He must have a good job.
Oh my God.
3 other reasons sellers offered for their spying included a desire to gather information that could help them with negotiations, that was 36%, ensuring the safety of their home during showings, 31%, and to keep tabs on what their real estate agent says about their home. I don't trust my real estate agent. Though most sellers say they haven't used a hidden camera to watch buyers, those looking to purchase homes still should watch what they say and do on a house tour, LendingTree senior economic analyst Jacob Channel told Fox Business. If a would-be buyer says or does something offensive to the person who currently owns the home they're looking to buy, then the seller might decide not to do business with them. Channel went on, even if you're not on camera, it usually pays to be polite and courteous when you're inside someone else's home, even if it's currently on the market. Do we really need that quote in Fox Business? We do, because we're heathens. But, yeah, it's common sense. Don't be an asshole. But whatever.
Much common? As you say it, they're out there.
Yeah,
it's not common sense. Don't be an asshole.
No, I know.
Not
I know.
Anymore.
I know. Buyers aren't completely blind to the fact that they may be recorded when they visit a home either, LendingTree survey revealed. 19% of the surveyed buyers said they noticed a camera inside a home while they were viewing. Alan Funt was right behind it, so they thought something was up. Wow, another dated reference. I think I did that reference a couple of weeks ago, too.
I counted with we took our fanny flag.
Yes.
maybe the 3 of us got it, and maybe 2 other people. The rest of them are like, ooh.
Yeah. Viewing 13% said they haven't noticed the camera, but suspect that they could have been one there. Ding, ding, ding. More than half the survey's respondents, 56%, said they think the use of spy cams is unfair and an invasion of privacy. How can I pick my nose and wipe my booger on your table if you're going to be watching me? But 32% admitted they consider using hidden cameras if they decide to sell a home in the future. 53% of U.S. consumers have a spy cam of some sort in their home, according to LendingTree survey, which include doorbell cameras, security cameras, a video baby monitor, a nanny cam, or another type of camera. Despite the prevalence of hidden home cameras, 44% of LendingTree's respondents said they would back out of the deal for their dream home if they found out they were secretly recorded them. Would you really? Okay. Sellers who are using spy cams as a means to gather information should be mindful that looking for a home is stressful, and that's because buyers are potentially spending a lot of money, according to Channel. Buyers may come across as harsh or seem like they're nitpicking when they look at a house, Channel said. If you're a seller and you overhear a buyer say something rude, like how they hate your interior decorating or paint choices, it might sting a little bit, but it's probably not good enough reason for you to completely avoid doing business with them. All right, this was my blog this week. I think I've said this before in the many times we've been going through the real estate journey. I just assume somebody's watching. Only one time was I told that there were cameras, but I just assume. And I think I've said that I've told my wife and my daughter, or definitely my wife, to dummy the fuck up. You know, I don't say anything. I don't say, I really don't reveal my hand when I'm in the property, whether I like it too much or I don't like it. I mean, that changes when you're doing the walkthrough, because as we discussed in segment one, you have to be a lot more critical. But I don't want to tip my hand. Like, I probably showed my enthusiasm on some of the houses, and probably on some of the ones where I'm like, all right, it's time to go, because I don't need to do a walkthrough when I walk in and go, all right, this isn't going to work. You know, the girls still like, I've talked about this, the girls still like to run around the whole house and pretend we're moving in there. I know as soon as I walk in, you know, it's like a chick with halitosis. I don't need to stick around. This isn't going to work.
Right. There's like one thing, like when you see a house and it's not the place, there was one place the show's girl and I went to look at. And like I said, it was nice. It was a nice neighborhood. Like I said, where my music room would be, I could literally back my truck into the garage and unload it right into the room. I liked it, but the problem was there was steps. There were a lot of steps going up to the front house that were like a deck like steps. In the winter, it would be absolutely murder. And I'm like, it just turned me off. So you know. There were little things that
it would not, like it's kind of weird that like some people said, well, you know, if they found out they were being filmed, they would walk away from the deal. And like buyers were like, well, if they said something nasty about the house, they'd walk away from the deal. This is business. We're not dating people.
And 44%, let me tell you something, if a hidden home camera, if they were catching me jerking off and put it on Facebook, and they were giving me the roof, they were paying for the roof, ha ha ha.
Wow. I did not expect that to go there. What were you going to say, Pip?
No.
No.
I was just going to say that, you know, sometimes it would be helpful for the sellers if like, you know, out of 10 people, 7 of them walk in the room and go, oh my God, the color of these walls, this wallpaper is going to take all this time and effort to take down. I don't want to deal with that. And then they might say, you know what? We've got to take down the wallpaper, even though it was Grandma's favorite.
Yeah, no, it
we're
could be
a sell this no. place. Because people don't have
right.
that imagination.
Now, I will say,
the realtor doesn't give you the feedback you really want to hear.
I will say, when we sell this house, it will be empty. We will be moved out. If that was not the case, I currently don't have any cameras, but I might set some up just to gather information, to see what nobody's stealing shit, to see what's going on. I don't think it's bad. When we sell this house, it's going to be an empty space, and they're either going to say it's too small, it's too big, we don't like the color of the paint, or something like that. I don't give a shit about that. I'm not going to be butthurt over something like that. I don't care. But yeah, listen, man, you should just assume wherever you go in your daily life, somebody is watching you. You should just assume that.
Right, but you're also looking at this. I mean, a lot of people are looking at this from the viewpoint of a reasonable person and saying, look, when I'm going to sell the house, I'm going to make it kind of like every place. You're not going to have like some very distinct personal design things. It, you know, like if I like wild colors on my walls, which I do, I'm going to paint them to be neutral colors.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. You are wrong. People don't think like that. Some do. Like our realtor drilled it into my wife's head, which means it gets drilled into my head that, you know, we have to do certain things. But some people, I've seen houses. Yeah, lime green wall, that's fine. Pink wall, pink room, because they're like, you know what? They're going to change it anyway. Now, when it's in a hot market,
right,
you can do that. But if it's not a hot market, maybe everything does have to be taupe. I don't know.
I'm
sorry, Pip. What were you saying?
No, I was just going to say that people don't have, I mean, minor things maybe, but if you have crazy shit in your house, there are some sellers who are so emotionally attached to the stuff, even though they're selling, they won't listen to the realtor say, you can't sell it with this crazy shit in here. And if they have it on tape, listen to all these people complaining about your crazy shit, you're not going to sell it unless you let me clean it out and stage it. That's how they get the job done.
That's true, too. But sometimes, like, in my house, the bedroom was pink. But everything, you know, I mean, the place was phenomenal. And it's like, you know, and Joe's girl's like, and the bedroom's pink. I'll paint it. I don't get, you know, I mean, I do still have a pink bathroom with pink top, but you know, I also have another bathroom I use. And one day I'm going to, I got to save or figure out to take a refi something. And I'm going to finally put a shower in there and stuff like that. But nonetheless, wasn't a deal breaker in the least.
Yeah. I just think you should assume that you're being recorded, and they have every right to record you. I guess it'd be nice if they let you know you're being recorded. People will definitely behave on their best behavior then. But, you know, just from being a comic, I know words are so important, so maybe that's why I watch what I say. You know, I don't want to rip apart somebody's own. I don't want to be a dick. You know what? If I personally don't like something, that's fine. It's not about me unless I'm buying the house. Until I buy the house, it's about them. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do some turbulent air. This story was actually from the beginning of the year, but I don't get to everything right away. So this story still is important. Well, I don't know about important. Yeah, it's kind of important. Story's still important. I wouldn't give you.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
Alaska Airlines, again, this already happened, but we haven't discussed it, will stop allowing emotional support animals on flights booked after January 11th and will only allow trained service dogs to accompany their humans, the carrier announced on Tuesday. Effective January 11th, 2021, Alaska will accept only service dogs which are trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of a qualified individual with a disability. Emotional support animals will no longer be accepted. Alaska is the first airline to ban support animals in response to the U.S. Department of Transportation's December 2nd decree that most emotional support animals do not qualify as service animals. To fly, well, if you put a little peanut butter on your junk, they do. They'll service you. To fly, service animals must... What, no?
God.
No? Okay. Wrong service.
No! Leave Fido alone. Stop that.
Maybe you should put some peanut butter down there and get a schnauzer to take a peek. To fly, service animals must be specifically trained to help a person with a physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, or mental disability, according to new rules. Airline officials and union leaders pushed for the regulatory change, which they said would help reduce animal-related disturbances, which have resulted in flight attendant injuries. Some disability advocates, meanwhile, argued that a broad definition service animal undermined those with legitimate needs for animal assistance. This regulatory change is welcome news as it will help us reduce disturbances on board while continuing to accommodate our guest travel with qualified service animals, Alaska Airlines rep Ray Prentice said. Flyers with trained service dogs, including psychiatric service dogs, those are dogs that like to sit on a couch, must submit pre-flight DOT form attesting to the dog's health, behavior, and training, according to Alaska's new policy. Passengers who book their trip before January 11th will still be permitted to bring emotional support animals until February 28th, the company said. Now, I remember we had comedian Joe Bronzi on, and he talked about this, because he actually has a little dog that he brought with him here. Joe wasn't here, but Pip was here. That is his emotional support animal, and he says how important it is. But I kind of get, like, the airlines, because, like, people are, like, bringing, like, peacocks and whatnot onto the flight.
Yeah, right. I mean, a goat, I mean, you know.
Actually, goats are very loving animals, Joe. Goats are actually very loving animals.
But not in an aircraft, okay?
Sure, they love everybody.
Yeah, but still, you know, and you know, when they would you like a snack? Nah, but,
Wow. That, I can't believe that joke did better than a cat as far as landing.
I've seen a cat land better. But still, you know, basically it's been people's interpretation on what they feel is a support animal. And, you know, it got out of hand, so they got to rein it back a little bit.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, even, this is just me, even if the animal was an accredited service animal, like a German Shepherd, I still don't really want to sit next to a dog on a flight. I gotta be we're cramped in there like it is. And it's bad enough I got a human next to me. Now I got a human and a dog. Yeah, it's a lot to ask for me. I mean, you do it because you don't really have a choice, but it is inconvenient. It's not like these planes have a service animal area where the people with the service animals can sit and everybody else can be unencumbered by your pet or your service animal. So
right.
I that's probably an unpopular take. You don't love dogs. It has nothing to do with dogs. I don't want to fly 5 hours next to you. I certainly don't want to do it with your dog.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that you do have to look at the fact that the people who have the disabilities in the first place are inconvenienced every fucking day.
Yeah, but that's not my problem. That's not my problem.
No,
and we're not talking about legitimate ones. We're saying the people with legitimate disabilities, with legitimate service animals, they can bring their service animal. This is for the person that doesn't have documentation that they're jittery, who wants to bring their pet hamster.
I know. What I'm saying is that the real trained dogs are really well behaved. They know how to, they're not going to launch an attack on an air hostess.
Well, hold on. First
they can control themselves.
First of all, they could. Everybody gets scared. People react crazy on flights, so they could. They generally don't. Second of all, forget about them behaving badly. They're just taking up more space in a situation where there's not a lot of space to begin with.
Right, and let's say there's an emergency. I don't want to be behind somebody with a door going, come on, boy, come on, while there's flames looking at my ass. Chances
are, Joe, the dog would be dragging out the person as opposed to the person waiting for the dog.
Well, if it's just a regular dog off the street because somebody feels that it gives them comfort, and not a trained animal. I want to come on, Mr. Whiskers, go on my ass.
So you're talking about one of those street dogs that people often pick up on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you buy a bag of oranges at a red light.
Same thing. a Labradoodle or oranges? Which should we pick up on the way to the airport?
Could you just squeegee my window and we can have done with it? I mean,
yeah.
Now, I mean, listen, this is going to rub some people the wrong way, but I think the majority of people are kind of like, yeah, it got to be too much.
People took advantage of it, and they ruined it for people who have legitimate concerns.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about what you said about the people that are selling shit. Yeah, I'm in traffic. I'm late for the gig. Ooh, you know what? We'll make my day a tangerine. Get out of the fucking house.
You know what, Joe? Joe, so many people neglect their vitamin C intake that, you know, when you're stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic.
The girl from Guatemala knows this and knows how to help.
She's like a doctor. She's making YouTube videos about COVID-19 and selling oranges. She's one-stop doctoring.
We were in Queens and somebody was selling Ziploc bags of mangoes with some kind of juice around it. I'm like, no.
Was it white?
Buying that. No.
Was it white and viscousy and smell like a pool?
No. But it was like, it was obviously in liquid and there's slices of mango in a Ziploc bag by the side of the road. The flowers, okay. Bag of oranges, good. Ziploc bags full of juicy fruit.
Yeah. No,
how frustrated about my fruit at the supermarket? You think I'm going to buy a bag of them from Consuela on Flatbush Avenue? No.
You guys underestimate the allure of the tropical street mango. You just don't appreciate it.
I love mangoes, but street mangoes can go.
Street mangoes you either find during the day in Ziploc bags or after hours on a corner. That's where you find street mango. All right, so we all kind of get what Alaska Airlines is doing. We're kind of cool with it.
Trying to reel it back a little bit because things probably got out of hand.
Yeah.
So we will continue.
When they started bringing emotional support peacocks, they ruined it for everybody.
But you know what? I get it though, because like some people are animals are very. Are very good at reducing stress. That's why they say watch a fish tank, pet a cat, pet a dog, pet a hamster. I get it. You know, flying is stressful, especially now. I get why these people bring these animals. But again, you have to look at the public good. It's the same thing with COVID. I get why you don't want to get the shot. I get why you want to bring your cat. I understand. But we got to deal with the public good here.
Also, it's Alaska Airlines. You know where Alaska is? You know, they're probably going, okay, a bear? Really?
I'm sorry. We can't allow that polar bear on this flight. You're a racist. You'd let the black bear on. No, we wouldn't.
Somebody brought a moose last week. He fucked up the overhead with his antler. No. No bear.
Why does row 32 smell like fish? We had a family of penguins on the last flight.
Really? There's herring everywhere.
Gets to be too much. All right, let's continue along with animals. We'll continue into wild America. Scientific researchers got brown trout addicted to the drug and addicted to the drug in a test had them swimming in a tank with mess-laced water for 8 weeks. A study published Tuesday. Nikki Six said, "Sign me up." When the Wow, I could go swimming in this? I don't have to stick things in my arm anymore. I could just go swimming in this? Wow, I'd love a drug bath. Party on.
Sign me
every
up for the scuba.
Every 90s rock band has to get their shrimp trunk.
Yes. Sign me up for the scuba.
Yeah, seriously. When they were later given an option of a clean stream or one with methamphetamine, the trout preferred the tainted water. A sign they were experiencing withdrawal, the researchers said, the Journal of Experimental Biology. The study, which aimed to test the effects of drugs seeping into natural waterways, also found the trout moved around less after meth exposure than their drug-free counterparts. Pippa, how dare you? We have a real meth problem with trout in this country, and you just laugh. What's wrong with you?
I have no sympathy.
There was a side story here. They actually tried to pipe music in there, and the fish were given a choice of Taylor Swift or Alice in Chains. 99.9% picked Alice in Chains.
Well, to be fair, the trout didn't want to hear Taylor Swift wax poetic about the yet another one that got away. They hear enough of that shit. They hear enough of that shit from fishermen above them. They don't need to hear it in their fucking music too.
Even the fish said enough of that shit.
Yeah. I am the fish in the box.
Well, we
going in my shit.
Pip.
Don't you swear,
Pip. We talked about the fish in your box in segment one. We're not going to make every segment about the fish in your box. All right? Enough.
That's a callback, folks.
Sure. If you tuned out of part one because it got gross, tune back in. Go back. Be like Jen Psaki and double back, which is also a callback. The studies had researchers told CNN that as the drug seeped through the filtration process at water treatment plants, drug-addicted fish could seek out water change behavioral patterns and throw the ecosystem into disarray. Wastewater plants are not equipped to remove drugs such as meth that have seeped into the water supply. Addicted fish may gather around where the plants are discharging water. Just fucking waiting for that hit, man. Prescription drugs may also have a potential negative impact on fish and wildlife, said Pavel Horky of the Czech University of Life Sciences in Prague. Current research from teams around the world undoubtedly shows their adverse impact on ecosystems, which in turn can influence humans. But chemical biologist Randall Peterson with the University of Utah urged caution about the study in the Scientist magazine. He said he expected waterways to have less concentration of meth than what was used in the study, 1 microgram per liter. When I go fly fishing in the evening, which I plan to do, I don't anticipate that I'll be wading around in water with anywhere near that much, Peterson said, although Horky estimated the level was quite common, the scientist reported. You know, there's a lot of yucks to be had by a funnier show, but that being said, it might be time to worry about the filtration system for all the drugs in there. I didn't realize this was a problem. That's
dude, how many people are flushing meth down the toilet?
Well, when you get that knock, you know, time is short, my friend. More than you think.
I understand. How many rays are going on simultaneously?
No, but you know what? It does seep through. I mean, people flush drugs. You know, these pharmaceutical plants. You know, with all their wastewater goes into our rivers and our streams, and then into the ocean. We drink it. We drink it. It goes into our water system. It's not purified out. We probably should get on that.
Well, for years, when people were done with a prescription, they would flush it down the toilet. After all these years, there's a percentage of antidepressants and all kinds of meds in the water system.
Right. But you never, so you don't want to see a happy rat? Rat's been bummed out.
Why do you think Pizza Rat was fucking taking that pizza? It was hooked on drugs.
He finally got it, yeah.
Yeah. Pizza Rat's a happy boy.
Yeah, he was snapping and taking shit or a rat in a subway platform.
Now I do have a positive on this. So we know meth is bad for teeth. You ever see a meth head? They have horrible teeth. So maybe we need.
They don't wear shoes.
Well, all right, but fish don't wear shoes, so this wouldn't apply to them. You can't put a pair of loafers on a fish, no matter how hard you try. But you know what hangs out around beaches? Sharks. You know what has sharp teeth? Sharks. So maybe we need to put meth in the water around the beaches, so the sharks will lose their teeth and they won't chomp you; they'll just gum you.
Oh, but believe me, I live on Long Island. There's enough needles and shit like that to keep them going.
Yeah. They'll just fashion some kind of, attack needle mouse.
Yeah, believe me, I went down to the shore during the summer. There was a shark there looking for $5, so I understand.
Hard times.
Well, yeah. I think it is a serious issue, but it is kind of weird to just imagine all these trout like just jonesing for a hit. Come on, man. Just one taste. I'll let you taste me if you give me a taste. Just a taste, man.
Swimming around, listening to grunge. I never saw a goldfish wear flannel before. All
right,
well,
again, no. I do think this is a little racist, though. Why do they got to get the brown trout hooked on it? It's like the Tuskegee Airmen all over again. What the hell are we doing?
Oh, Jesus! No, it is not.
Why? They specifically said brown trout. They could have just said trout. They specifically said brown trout. They're being racist.
They didn't say the white meat tuna,
No, you know what, Pip? You have great white sharks, and you have brown trout. You know what? If you didn't want to be racist, maybe you do some great white sharks and some brown trout. Like, no, let's go into the brown trout community and get them hooked on this drug and see what happens. Now they're dependent on me, the white scientist, to give them their fix. They're not swimming right. They can't work. And then we're gonna come back. These trout aren't working. They're not swimming properly. Then we're gonna go, well, look at the trout schools. Why these trout need to be better parents. Look at how their schools have deteriorated. And we did that.
And it's like you see SpongeBob SquarePants. He got addicted to. He sets up a meth lab in his little coral house there.
Sure. you know, people think. People make the mistake. They see SpongeBob SquarePants and they think those are holes because he's a sponge. No, those are heroin needle holes.
Oh my God! Those are a lot of track marks on that poor little sponge.
Just all over.
Got at the bottom of the sea. SpongeBob.
Why do you think he lives in? Why do you think he lives in a pineapple? He could be hungry at any moment. Pineapples are not native to the bottom of the sea.
Quickly, wake up!
Patrick's just his little dealer.
All those arms. There's a little dime bag in each arm. You know, he's just like getting a little taste. Do you think it's any coincidence that SpongeBob works at a burger joint? No, he gets the friggin' munchies.
Yeah, of course he does.
SpongeBob is a shitty driver who can never pass his driving test? Yeah, because he's always hopped up on drugs.
What stop sign?
You know, Squidward is straight laced. He's trying to. Squidward's like, just say no, man. He's trying to get the job done, and he's got to work with this drug addled sponge. It's a bunch of horse shit.
I'm sorry that I'm feeling sorry for Squidward right now.
Well, you should. I'm just saying this is what happens when we allow this to seep into our ocean ways and pollute our oceans. Yeah, you have drug addicted sponges. That's the problem. And listen, and don't think SpongeBob isn't looking around to move out of that pineapple house. He's got his eye on a sweet, sweet Dorito bag. So he's going to be moving real soon.
There might actually be some of that dust coating.
Yeah, you're just gonna see like orange Dorito powder in his little fucking holes. The guy can't stop. It's a problem. This is what happens when we let drugs seep into our waterways. Knock it off and stop being racist. All right. Let's take our final break of the evening. We'll come back with some scamming scammers and my, you never can tell, my Michelle. my military scammer, Michelle. We will do that. But on the break, we have some new music from Radio Drive with their song It's Who I Am. And we have new music from Scott Lucille with his song Give Up On Me. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com.